Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We know you're excited to hear from our two special guests today after hearing yesterday's show, and we'll have them coming right up. But first, you're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. Yesterday on Mormon Channel Daily, we had the opportunity to sit down with Garrett Batty, who is the writer, producer, and director of a new film called The Saratov Approach, which is going to be released in theaters this Wednesday, October 9th, which tells the story of two missionaries who were kidnapped in Saratov, Russia. And today, we have the opportunity to hear from Andrew Propst and Travis Tuttle, who are the two original missionaries that this film is about. Not the actors, these are the real missionaries. They were in the Mormon Channel studio recently, and we wanted to play part of our interview with them on the Mormon Channel here today. So with no further ado, here we go. I'd like to welcome into the studio two guests that we have with us today, Travis Tuttle and Andy Propst, who are the two missionaries in the film The Saratov Approach. And I want to be really clear that these are not the actors from the film, but these are the two original missionaries kidnapped in Saratov, Russia. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
We are grateful to have you here at the Mormon Channel. What's it like to see yourselves in this movie, reenacting your experience?
People ask me, like, you know, what do you think of the film? And I can't describe what I think of the film. It's a story that's obviously near and dear to Travis and I's heart. It was a very private moment, a life-changing moment for both of us. And then to kind of put ourselves out there for the whole world to see this very special moment for us was mind-boggling. And then to see the final product, to have Garrett put together a product that really represents what happened basically to the T, it's humbling to say the least.
So Garrett did a good job. You're pleased with it. Not to put him on the spot or anything.
I'm very pleased with the overall story. I mean, the story is 100% accurate. There might be some conversations in the movie that filled some time that didn't really happen that way, but the story was delivered 100%.
Travis, what about you? Your thoughts?
It's very very weird that think that our story's in the theaters. Extremely humbling. You know, when we first got home, I kind of thought that something like this might happen. But, you know, 15 years later, had long moved on from that thought of ever taking place. And then when we got the call from Garrett saying he wanted to do this, you know, there was definitely some reservations and we were very concerned that it was going to be portrayed properly. And we didn't want this to be misrepresented at all just because of the severity and of the situation.
I mean, the Lord obviously knows all. We probably weren't ready for this 15 years ago.
No.
You know, we were trying to find a wife, and it feels just like great timing for everybody.
We didn't talk to each other for several years after we got home. You know, life just kind of took us in different directions. And so when we got the call and then he contacted me saying, you know, this guy wants to do this movie, it's been great to be able to reunite with him and to be able to talk to him. And we talk to each other, you know, almost every day. Most of the time it's not about the kidnapping. Most of the time it's about how his Dodgers are killing my Diamondbacks and he likes to, you know, rub it in my face. But it's been very therapeutic to be able to talk to him again and kind of relive this and go on with life.
The biggest blessing for sure out of this is our reunited relationship. And it's funny how our wives are best friends. We have kids that struggle with similar type disabilities, and there for them to bounce ideas off each other, what's working, what's not working. I've been to, not to say been to war, but I've been to something similar to like that through the guy. There's nothing I feel like I cannot talk to him about and learn from him and vice versa. So when I'm having a bad day, I know I can go to Travis and talk to him about guy stuff, and he's going to, no reservations, give me his honest feedback.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome.
You forged a really powerful friendship during that time then.
We did. It's great to have that other person that has been through, you know, what I've been through. And now that we have kids and we're in a totally different place, it's great to be able to have that person to talk to.
And our personalities are very similar, and we're very candid with each other. We were like that when we were on missions, too. I would just be able to slap him. You know, what you're doing right now is not what you should be doing. And he would not take that in the wrong. He would say, you know, you're right. Snap out of it. And the same thing happened when we were kidnapped. When I was having difficulties, you know, with the situation, he would pick me up and smack me around and vice versa. And that relationship hasn't changed. I mean, even though we took a few years hiatus where life kind of got the best of us, but, you know, I really hope that this experience opens the door for communication with his family and him for the rest of our lives. So
that's wonderful. So can I ask you about that experience? What was going through your minds at that time? Did you think you were going to
make it? Did you think that this was the end?
Well, it was a whirlwind of emotions, right? So, yeah. You know, you start off in the very beginning where we went into the apartment and we were beat up and taken to the second apartment, and we were there for 5 days. And so in the beginning of it, we start off with, you know, a lot of emotions, thinking about only ourselves and how we're going to get out of here, and our thoughts of we, us, mm-hmm. I. And then we kind of came to a point in the week that we were there that it wasn't about us anymore. And we had pretty much prepared ourselves to die, which we thought we were going to. And we figured that there was really no way out of it. Mm-hmm. And so we had set ourselves up and prepared ourselves mentally to die. But then the conversation, the mood, the atmosphere, it changed. It was a much lighter atmosphere. We were much more upbeat. We were much more, I don't know if I want to say excited, but much more optimistic. And it translated, and we were ready to die. And it's a very sobering realization when you make that decision that, okay, I'm ready to die at this point.
Wow. Not only did that suffering that you guys endured, not only was that for you, but that was for all of us. That was for missionaries for generations to come. For the ransom not to be paid, it seems like that would have opened a door for all missionaries to have a target on their back.
Well, right.
From then
absolutely.
On.
So the ransom couldn't be paid, and we knew that. Yeah. It's just not something the church could do. I mean, even if they wanted to, which they probably, I mean, they would have paid the money for us to come out of there.
Oh, yeah, we had independent people and private people wanting to give money. I mean, that wasn't the issue. It wasn't the money.
Right.
It was like you saying, it opens the door that mm-hmm. every missionary is a walking bank account, you know, or walking yep. bank basically. And that's not good.
So it just wasn't feasible. And we knew that. I mean, it wasn't like we were sitting there thinking, oh no, the church is going to pay this. They're going to write the check. Just a few more minutes. We kept telling the kidnappers that they'll pay and, you know, sit tight. We're just trying to buy ourselves a few minutes.
Oh, you guys did tell them that.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So our whole goal in the entire time we were there was, you know, to make these guys our friends, break down the wall. You know, we kind of had the attitude of it's harder to kill your friends than your enemies. So we wanted to make them our friends as quickly as possible. But, you know, every time they'd bring up the ransom and where's the money at, you know, keep talking to them. They'll pay you. They will pay. The money's there.
Wow.
Out of both the kidnappers, we definitely made a really good friend out of one of them, and we did the best we could with the other one. He wouldn't give us the time of day most of the time, but when we had his ear, we bent his ear. It was a, you know, life-changing, life-teaching moment for us. It was awesome.
It was really trying to tell them, you know, sincerely that we love them, telling them that they couldn't kill us and why. You know, we haven't experienced a lot of life's experiences yet. We're only 20. You can't kill us yet. And trying to put these emotional thoughts into their mind. You know, the younger guy that was with us most of the time, we tried to make all, you know, a lot of different commonalities between us. You know, my mom was a school teacher. Your mom was a school teacher. My grandma was a school teacher. Your mom was a school teacher.
Wow.
And my grandpa did this and your grandpa did this. And see, we're all kind of the same people. You're from Russia. I'm from America. But look, we both like hockey. We both like soccer. Look, we're the same. You don't want to kill your friends.
That was a really good idea that you guys had to do that.
It worked.
That was really smart.
Well, and we can't. What? Unfortunately, I'd like to take the credit, but I feel like we were inspired
guided, from
a very young age to have those interpersonal skills, to have the desire to learn how to do that, and then when we got in a situation where we really needed them, the Lord provided a way for us to touch their hearts. Not to mention the, you know, trillion people that were praying for us, that probably had a little bit to do with it. But, you know, ultimately, other than a miracle, there's no other way to describe how that happened.
It almost seems like, and I don't want to put any words in your mouth, so you tell me, but it almost seems like almost kind of an Abraham Isaac sort of sacrifice or a Daniel in the lion's den. As soon as you were willing to say, okay, we're willing to die for this, then all of a sudden it's like, it's over. That...
Absolutely. It was the most...
accurate?
Not inspirational, but we just were free from all of our worries. And when we let the Spirit guide us, we were in a situation where we had the ability to escape. And to be in that situation, we would have had to harm people. And we didn't know how many people, but there was a situation where we could have possibly killed some people. And we relied upon the Spirit to guide us in that situation. And our hearts were very soft, and we listened, obviously. And the opportunity after that was done, and we buckled ourselves back in with our handcuffs, we tied ourselves back up, and we realized that this is bigger than our own lives. There's more out there. We don't want to put the church in a position where Monday morning, New York Times or Wall Street Journal, two Mormon missionaries kill Russians or something like that.
We didn't
want to be in that situation. So we listened and we realized that there was something bigger than us. Once we got that feeling, that spiritual relief, it was a walk in the park, basically, from there.
But you passed the test, it seems.
The test is still given to us on a daily basis.
Right, yeah.
I mean, we're no different than anybody else. I mean, we have hard times, we have great times. But luckily, we have this experience that we can go back on and say, no matter how bad today seems, it could be worse. I'm talking to Travis earlier that when we went to Russia, we learned how much we took for granted here in America. And then when we got kidnapped, we realized how much we took for granted in Russia. So when they strip you down, I mean, and you look around when you're as naked as we were in that situation, you just really, it floods in. You don't know how good you have it until it's gone, really. And that was a big takeaway for us and just a wonderful experience.
So how did it end? I mean, I know how it ends in the movie, but how did it end in real life?
I mean, the movie's pretty accurate. So they came in on Sunday morning and they said that they were going to release us. The older guy that was there, he had been drinking and he was pretty drunk, and he came in and he wanted to make sure that he was still going to get his money, and he wanted our parents to pay the money, and you know, we said we would. And they loaded us up in the car and they took us out into the middle of a field, and they just dumped us in this field and they told us to stay there for 2 minutes. And we had the tape over our eyes. They put a ski mask back over us, but they took the handcuffs off finally, and they drove away. You know, if there would have been a camera there, it probably would have been somewhat of a comical scene there for a minute, because, you know, Andy jumps up and he takes off and he's running across this field. And I yell at him and I say, "Hey, man, where are you going?" And he said, "I'm out of here. If these guys come back, I'm not going to be here. Good luck."
I thought they were, you know, I don't want to say stupid on the radio, but I thought they were very stupid to let us go. Because
they're going
to
drive down
the road. They're going to change their mind and they're going to come back and they're going to... Because I really, there was no reason in my mind for us to go free. And I just, this is too good to be true. I'm not risking it. I'm out of here. But, you know, we didn't eat anything for 5 days.
So he,
running in snow 3 feet deep,
he probably got about 30 yards from me, and I yell at him, "Where are you going?" And he stops and, you know, says that they're coming back and he's not going to be here. Good luck. And it took us a minute, and we kind of realized that we were free, and we ran and tackled each other in the snow, and it was such a sweet moment to realize we had just been through this and that we were alive. We still had, you know, a ways to go before it was completely over, but it was a very, very sweet moment to realize that you're still alive. And we had absolutely nothing, right? So no fancy houses, cars. We had no money because they had taken it. And we were, you know, dirty, bruised up. And it was a glorious moment to be there and to realize that we were alive.
What a miracle.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah. I don't
know. You know, there was a lot of faith and prayers and spirit behind that move. Whatever happened. It was just...
And it was so incredible to hear all the stories afterwards, you know, of all the different faiths coming together, and you know, the people across the world, whether they were Christian or Catholic or whatever it may have been, coming together and praying on our behalf. It's very, very humbling when you hear, "Oh, I prayed for you." What do you say, right?
Yeah.
You know, "Thank you, I really appreciate it. That means a lot." And then you hear the other stories of people that their lives are better from it, and they were able to reach out and talk to missionaries and become converted and get baptized because of the situation that we went through. So all of that, you know, is extremely humbling and very, I don't know a better word than humbling. I guess let's go with humbling.
Humbling's great. It's such a neat story of the power of faith and prayer and literally the hand of God. But it's almost like the prayers were answered because so many people were praying for you guys. So many people are concerned.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, and you're just speechless about it. And, you know, in no way do we feel like we deserve that attention and those prayers. And it's just really hard to accept it. You know, you feel so not worthy of it. As a human being, we make mistakes. You know, we're nothing special. But the fact is, it happened, and it didn't just get us past that point in our life. But people always ask, what kind of brain damage did you go through as far as not sleeping at night, nightmares, you know?
Yeah.
Those prayers went way beyond just getting us free. They helped us get through the hard times, because, I mean, I feel like the Lord blessed us with forgetting that the hard parts of that story and moving on and looking in the future and saying, this was a difficult time of your life, but it's a teaching moment and not a bad spot.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times we go through life and bad things happen and we look at them like they're bad things. And they're not. They're hurdles. Then when we cross those hurdles, we should be happy and we should keep moving towards the next hurdle, because the sooner we get over it, the better we are. Mm-hmm. We can just take on the next one. Thank goodness those prayers were there to help us with that.
As well said. Thank you. What would you say to someone who is struggling with their faith in God?
No, don't give up. You know, just having the belief in God overall is extremely important. We need to have a reason to get out of bed every day. And I really do feel bad for people that they don't have a greater purpose. Whether, you know, you're LDS or whatever your denomination may be, you know, it's very important that we have a greater meaning for life. You know, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, the richest guy in the world and you have, you know, everything you could ever want to buy, or if, you know, you're scraping by paycheck to paycheck. It's that the thought of, you know, I'm here for a greater purpose. I'm here to help other people be better. And that's really what we want to pass on to people, is look at the situation that we went through. And although we still have plenty of our own issues that we try to work through on a daily basis and try to become better people, you know, don't let the day-to-day things get you down.
That's excellent. Thank you. Did you have something, Andy?
I agree with Travis. However insignificant you think you are in whatever place you're in, but finding the true meaning in life, and when you're in those lack of faith moments and you can get on your knees and plead to God for direction, and when he provides you the purpose, which is, you know, that's what saved us in this whole thing, is we found the purpose in the story, and that's what got us through. So those people that are struggling with their faith, when they realize their purpose again, and that's pretty easy to do if you're humble enough to ask your Heavenly Father for true meaning going forward. And when those things are brought to light, you'll be able to get yourself back on track.
Yeah.
And that's important. You know, and that's what we think this movie is going to provide, is how insignificant we were in this story. I mean, we were just very dull tools in the Lord's hands, and he provided us a purpose to get through it. And I think if people are in those similar situations where they're in the pit of despair and they can re-realize why they're here on this earth, they can pick themselves back up and get going again. We really hope that they can take that away from this film.
Life's tough. We have a lot thrown at us on a daily basis. And I just think it's really important that we remember and we learn how to not give up. And, you know, the important thing is we don't give up on ourselves, because we have a lot that we can accomplish and a lot that we can teach other people. We have to be humble enough to learn from others, because everybody, you know, regardless of their age, their background, they have something that they can teach other people. And then, you know, we need to remember and learn how to not give up on others, not to give up on our spouses, not to give up on our kids, not to give up on our community, not to give up on our coworkers. I personally feel, and I think that Andy kind of feels the same way, that if we can learn how to do that, it's going to strengthen us as people. And it can strengthen our marriages and our relationship that we have with our children. And it'll strengthen our communities. And from there, we can get on a grander scale. But, you know, we have to start with us. You know, as soon as you give up on yourself, then it's over. And other people can't help you and if you're not willing to help yourself. And I think that's a problem. Is we just, you know, a lot of times we just say, woe is me. The world's coming to an end. My life is so horrible. Look at all the bad things that happened to me. And the reality of it is, bad things happen to good people every day.
Right, yeah.
And we just have to accept that for what it is.
There's a reason the Lord has us travel in twos. The story would be completely different if we were to head this off ourselves.
That's true,
and
yeah.
We had each other there. Like you said, he'd pick me up when I was down. And I'd pick him up when he was down. And I think, going back to your question, is, you know, people struggle with their faith all the time. I found that when I'm in those same struggles and I go find somebody that is very faithful and not judgmental, and I can plead my heart to them that, you know, I'm having this struggle, or I don't feel like I can get over this thing like I did with Travis when we were in that situation, their experience can pick me back up and help me realize that purpose and put me back on the straight and narrow again.
Thank you. Thank you for being willing to share your story with the world.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I think it's a great tool, and I think it's going to touch a lot of hearts of people of, wow, these men had such a commitment to Christ that this is what they were willing to go through for that. So,
I don't know if we're necessarily
not that we wanted to,
and that's a really great thing you said there.
There was never a survey taken. Is there two people willing? We didn't raise our hands. I'm glad we went through it.
But still, like you said, it is a teaching tool for so many people.
Absolutely. And for us.
Well, Andy and Travis, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate you taking time to come to the Mormon Channel and share your thoughts. Thank you. We'll come anytime.
thank you.
Sitting down with these two missionaries was an amazing experience to learn from them and to hear their experiences. And we were so excited to share that with you here on the Mormon Channel because we may not have that experience, but we can all learn from their example of faith and their dedication to God. There's a quote from President Dieter F. Uchtdorf that we'd like to end with today. And it's from a general conference talk he gave in April 2013 entitled Four Titles. And this is what he says. Discipleship is a lifelong journey following our Savior. Along our metaphorical path from Bethlehem to Golgotha, we will have many opportunities to abandon our journey. At times it will seem that the path requires more than we had wished for. He continues, we must have the courage to follow our Redeemer even when our cross seems too heavy to bear. Well, that's a great quote, and it's really indicative of the situation that Andy and Travis were in. They didn't want to get kidnapped. They didn't sign up for that. But they followed the Savior all the way through it and stayed true to the end. There's so much that we can learn from their faithful example. And honestly, hearing their story, it seems like it puts everything in perspective. Trials don't seem quite so big after hearing the trial that they went through. And that's our show for today. Thank you for being with us. If you have any comments, suggestions, or feedback, or stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day we'd like to leave you with today is entitled, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and it's featuring William Joseph. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to being back with you again here tomorrow.